Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Hugh Hefner's died at 91 years of age. The media is portraying him as a great liberator, but who was he really and what impact did he have on America and the world, really? As one writer noted after Hefner's death, quote, although Alfred Kinsey's perverted sex studies, first released in 1948, helped pave the way for the sexual revolution, the real seeds were planted with Playboy's nude photoshoot of Marilyn Monroe in 1953. Then these seeds grew with explosive force in the countercultural revolution of the 1960s, unquote. So, was Hefner really the father of the sexual revolution, or do conservatives have it all wrong? My guest today is Patrick Truman. He's the president and CEO of the Washington, D.C.-based National Center on Sexual Exploitation. He's a former chief of the Child Exploitation and Obscenity Section, Criminal Division of the Department of Justice, and that was from 1988 to 1993. Thanks, Pat, for being with us.
Good, Diane. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
And just, you know, in those years that you were with the DOJ, the Child Exploitation and Obscenity Section, what changes have you seen from then to now?
Well, some good, some bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you look at what the society was like then, we didn't have the internet pornography because there was no internet.
True.
It came in just right after that. So that's very bad. But on the other hand, as pornography was creeping into society, people were complaining about it, getting up in arms about it, demanding that the government enforce its laws. And so Attorney General Ed Meese, who I worked for during the Reagan administration, decided to have an all-out war against the pornography industry, and we were winning.
Wow.
Until Bill Clinton got in, and then he pretty much stopped it all.
Yeah.
But the today things are much, much worse because internet pornography has involved every family in America, and most every man, half the women, in one way or another. The harms are just overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And but I would say that from my vantage point here in Washington, D.C., the pendulum is beginning to swing again back because people are just fed up with the sexual exploitation
That
is rampant in society, and we're seeing that even today with Harvey Weinstein and the mm-hmm. Hollywood problem.
Right. Now, looking at the name of your organization is National Center on Sexual Exploitation. Has there been a link found between pornography and sexual exploitation?
Well, yes, of course, pornography is sexual exploitation, and that's the point of our name. We have to call out all sexual exploitation and point out that there's a seamless connection between all forms of sexual exploitation. Sex trafficking doesn't happen in a vacuum. The sex buyers who are buying those trafficked women are steeped in pornography.
Mm-hmm.
So pornography prepared them for that life. Child sex abuse doesn't happen in a vacuum. Most of those who are abusing children are involved in other illicit sexual activities and pornography. And the same goes for prostitution or child-on-child sex abuse. It's all interconnected, and we have to call out all of it. You can't just oppose sex trafficking and not oppose pornography, for example, because if you don't oppose pornography, you're not going to kill the demand for sex trafficking.
Yeah. You're just treating the symptom and not the source of the disease or the problem, and I totally agree with that. But it really all started with Hugh Hefner's Playboy. As far as, I mean, he actually called himself Kinsey's pamphleteer. I probably didn't pronounce that right. Yeah, and so he was looking at Alfred Kinsey, but Hugh Hefner is the one who made pornography mainstream, and
you can't call this man a revolutionary hero, like
sure.
You know, many wrote about in his obituaries. This is a man who pioneered sexual exploitation and pioneered the objectification of women. Really told us in so many ways through his magazine, through his films, etc., that female sexuality is subordination. This is what women are for. They are to serve men and can be discarded. But their only worth is in how they look. That's why he insisted that all his so-called girlfriends, the women who lived with him, had to have breast implants. You know, they weren't good enough as women. They had to be his vision of a woman, or you didn't measure up. And this is what's happening in society today. You know, we look at this Hollywood sex scandal. These women have talent. They're actresses. They want to get the good parts in films. But they're worth nothing unless they service Harvey Weinstein and the other people. That's what their worth is, according to these men who were raised on the Playboy philosophy.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I'll start with Playboy in 53, and I'll just give you some quick, the listeners some quick stats. Within a year, circulation near 200,000, and within 5 years, it had top 1 million subscribers. That was, again, starting in 53. What type of doors did that magazine open? I mean, you wrote an article in the Washington Examiner entitled Hugh Hefner's True Legacy, Mainstreaming the Sexual Objectification of Women, which you've already outlined some of that objectification. And when we're looking at Playboy magazine, what are some of the doors that should have been kept shut? What are some of the doors that were opened with that beyond the objectification of women? And that's, and it's not just women either. It's also children. And even there's you know, men are being attacked by and raped by other men, and it's just mind-boggling what is going on out there in the world. But what are some of the things that have happened since the 60s?
Well, the principle that the highest good is your own sexual pleasure, that, and nothing can top that. Religion can't top that. Family ties can't top that. Your marriage can't top that. What's most important to Hugh Hefner and to his ilk is that your sexual pleasure is satiated. And so with that philosophy, adultery, child sex abuse, the campus rape crisis, the military sexual assault crisis, all this flows from that. And we look around today at the destruction in America, and I'm so glad these women are speaking up all around the world about sexual assault today as a result of the Harvey Weinstein matter, because they've been silent. And what they're saying in so many words is that I reject this culture of exploitation. And who is it that is the founder of this culture? It is Hugh Hefner. And so much of society bought into it. He has been lionized. And I actually, Diane, I was so pleased that not every obituary on Hugh Hefner lionized him. They acknowledged his role in the sexual revolution, but many criticized him for the result. And we're seeing the result in Harvey Weinstein and a thousand other people and circumstances. And, you know, this is what I think is so important. You have companies like Comcast and Verizon who bring pornography videos right into your home, and they don't consider themselves sexual exploiters. I've talked to these people. But neither did Hugh Hefner or Harvey Weinstein and so many of these others. It's in retrospect that they do. And I think we're getting to the point where people are going to say, why the heck should Comcast bring these filthy titles into my home? And as my kids are flipping, they look and they see these titles of these sex films. Or why should Verizon have brought pornography into my home and get my husband addicted to pornography or my son addicted to pornography? We're beginning to ask questions, and I think Hefner's death helped to raise these questions, and how we answer them is going to be very important to our culture going forward.
Absolutely. Yeah, I made some notes here as far as some of the things that have happened since the sexual revolution, which, you know, most people tie that to Playboy, the publication of Playboy, which is interesting that with the advent of the Internet and internet pornography. Of course, pornographers took full advantage of that, the advanced technology. But print magazines aren't so "quote unquote" important anymore to those who are addicted to porn, because it's right, they can hold it in their hands with their phones or go in their home, in the privacy of their home, and view the pornography. But so it's good that people are beginning to recognize that there is a harm to pornography, because the first thing I put down in the bullet points I put was porn was not viewed as harmful anymore. But that is beginning to turn around to where, you know, after all these decades, the harm is definitely being recognized, and it's no longer, hopefully, by the majority of people, porn is no longer viewed as a victimless crime.
Yes, we used to say that it is a victimless crime, but there are so many peer-reviewed studies that are coming out over the last couple of decades, particularly in the last decade, about all the harms of pornography. And it makes sense. There's a study Diane did just a few years ago of the top, I think it was 50 porn films distributed in America. And what they found was 88% of the scenes in those top 50 films depicted sexual violence, and it's violence against women.
Yeah.
So when you look at that, you know, we used to have so many women that want to defend Hugh Hefner and defend the pornographic culture. But what is it they're defending? The sexual violence against women?
Yeah.
That has no currency today. And so you're finding feminists turning out in droves against the pornography industry and those who are involved. You know, the Game of Thrones show on HBO was filled with nudity and sexual violence against women, rape, etc. We took out after that show for the last 2 years, and others did it well as well, of course. In this last year, it still wasn't a good show in terms of the nudity and whatnot, but
right.
There were no rapes whatsoever.
Oh, okay.
Now, that's a small victory, but the point is, people began speaking up, and they'd say, okay, we want to see Game of Thrones, but you don't have to entertain us with rape.
Yeah.
And this is what we have to do. We have to speak up when the opportunity presents itself. If we're silent, we get the culture we deserve.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that really bugs me is that the college campuses have become a hookup society, have actually become a rape culture.
Yes.
And that's a direct result of the normalization of pornography and, you know, the stuff that's being pushed on or told the kids or taught the kids in public school. Because, I mean, what are they being given in high school? What are they being given to read? Some of the stories that they're being given to read. And some school computers have access to pornography sites. They don't have the filters that they need to protect the kids in the sex ed classes.
Everybody ought to check their high schools and grade schools for these online databases that schools are making available to their kids. A lot of that has pornographic material on it.
The online databases?
Yes.
Wow. Is there any type of filter? I mean, isn't it required by law that schools that receive federal funds are supposed to have a filter in place?
Yes, if you a certain federal funding.
Okay.
Every school has a filter, but a lot of the filters aren't very good. Or the schools will separately use an online database for teaching biology, teaching different courses. Now, the problem with that, the online databases are supplied by outside the school system corporations.
Okay.
And they're sold to the school as age appropriate, but you can't trust that. And what we've found in one of the most popular ones, EBSCO, is that there's a lot of links to sexually exploitive material. There's a lot of actual porn links. There's links to pimp sites, etc. So we're working with them to change that. But see, these systems bypass the school filtering.
Okay.
And the school thinks, well, this is like giving the kids a textbook. But unfortunately, it isn't. We're going to clean up that program with our effort this year.
Fantastic, because so the schools are just trusting the company that they're contracting with, basically.
Yes.
Okay, and they should not be doing that.
Yes.
Wow. And, you know, and in some school districts, first graders are being handed condoms, you know, middle school. So there's just so much is going on. And you mentioned earlier that under President Reagan, there was an effort to prosecute porn.
Yes.
But when Bill Clinton took office, that stopped. Has there been?
Well, it didn't stop completely, but it mostly did.
Okay.
And they just didn't have the energy to do it then. They have different values.
Or the, yeah, that's what I was going to say, or the desire, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And now we've had, since that time period, we have a Republican in office, but George Bush was in office for 8 years. Do we see any difference in prosecution?
We saw some difference. Okay. He was willing to prosecute, but not. He never stuck his neck out, and they didn't do much.
Okay.
The tough cases didn't get done. Then Obama shut it down. Now, we think that this Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, who has prosecuted illegal pornography years ago when he was a federal prosecutor, we think he'll do the right thing. But so far, they haven't geared up to do that, and we're pressing them to do that. And organizing to get him get attention to him for this, make sure that he knows the public wants it done.
Mm-hmm. Actually, there's, I can't remember, 3 or 4 states have actually passed resolutions that have labeled pornography as a public health risk. And Pennsylvania has a resolution out there that's not been passed yet. But so
you have states like Arkansas, Utah, South Dakota. And it's been introduced in a number of states. I think it's going to pass in Florida. You know, you're going to see this pass because families are overwhelmed by pornography. And the reason we call it a public health crisis is that when something becomes beyond the ability of the individual or the family to cope with or to resolve, then you need the public health. You need the government. You need corporations, you know, et cetera, to stamp this out. It's just like the smoking crisis. Mm-hmm. Or years ago, we had a child medicine poisoning public health crisis.
Right.
Kids were taking medicine on their own, and you know, we solved that. There's we have HIV crisis, etc.
Mm-hmm.
These are public health concerns because the problems are so widespread.
Absolutely.
That's what these resolutions are all about.
Okay. And it basically just a public statement saying that, highlighting the dangers of pornography. But you mentioned HIV. But not only HIV, but we have an epidemic of sexually transmitted diseases,
yes,
period. I mean, right. Back in the 60s, when this all started gearing up, we had syphilis and gonorrhea. They were both curable through the use of antibiotics, but now we have kids, and the numbers are astounding as far as teenagers and young adults who have incurable STDs as a result of buying into the idea that you know, the use of, that's fed by the use of pornography, again,
right,
the sexual exploitation of young adults,
right.
And that's one of the, to me, that's part of the legacy of Hugh Hefner. So as we're looking at all that's going on in these states that have introduced and passed resolutions linking pornography to, saying that pornography is a public health, it's a public health crisis, what can the ordinary American do? You mentioned the schools. What can they do with schools, or what can they do with their local communities as far as trying to rein in this or stop this crisis in their local communities?
Well, I'd like to encourage people to go to our website because we got a whole list of projects there. If you have kids in school, we have a Safe School, Safe Library projects. We have a whole host of other projects where you can get active as an individual and make a difference. We are changing corporation after corporation. The whole hotel industry is now getting rid of pornography in the rooms. Google's gotten rid of their advertisements for pornography. You know, this is all through citizen action. And if people would just go to our website, which is endsexualexploitation.org, endsexualexploitation.org, you can take nearly 100 different actions and make a difference.
Wow, 100, wow. That'll keep folks busy. But then again, as you mentioned, people are beginning to recognize that this is a real crisis. Maybe not, you know, it may not be directly affecting their family, as far as there may not be anyone in their family who's addicted to pornography, but it does affect their family because of the impact, the negative impact it has on their very community that they live in, and the dangers that, you know, their young daughter may have in just walking down the street or waiting at the bus stop for the school bus. Those dangers have been increased because of the Playboy, Hugh Hefner with Playboy, and then escalating to the internet pornography, the easier access to pornography. No longer do, you know, men, and now it's becoming increasingly women who are addicted to pornography, but no longer do they have to sneak into the corner store to bring out that porn magazine in a brown paper bag.
Right.
They can just sit in their home or hold it in their hand with their phone and view it. So so give us your website again. That's how folks can contact you guys then?
Yes, endsexualexploitation.org.
Okay, endsexualexploitation.org. And I do encourage our listeners to do that. And also, you can check Washington Examiner, and the date of Pat's article was September 28th, and it's entitled Hugh Hefner's True Legacy, Mainstreaming the Sexual Objectification of Women. And that was a fantastic article. Thanks so much, Pat, for your work, and
everyone
there at the center. It's fulfilling a much-needed job and helping to expose this. Okay, hey, take care. We'll see you
Thank
later.
You.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.